Come on, God is good. Amen. Yes, he is. All right. Everybody happy today? Like five people. Everybody happy today? Yeah, come on. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be serving the Lord. It's, yeah, I tell you what, guys. I can't open my Bible. It doesn't want to open. There it is. I have lots of notes going on today. All right. We're going to be jumping back into our series today just talking about taking the land and our taking territory this morning. And we've only got a couple more weeks left of this before we jump into Easter, and we're going to be releasing a new series starting Easter Sunday. So it's going to be, we're looking forward to that. I'm very excited about what God is doing. How many of you know that God is moving even when we're asleep? Amen. God is working even when we're resting. I'm so grateful we serve a tireless God. Amen? He's not limited as we are. So let's look this morning. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start there today. We're going to move in a little bit of a different direction than what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. But I really believe the Lord is going to bless you. Let's pray as we turn. Father, we thank you for that. Your word is life. Somebody say amen. You're not a silent God, but you're still speaking to us through the Word and through the Spirit. I pray that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts prepared to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today I want to be talking about possessing the land of inheritance. Somebody say inheritance. Now, how many of you know that God has an inheritance for you? I mean, God is our Father. Come on. Yes, that's why when we pray, we say our Father. And how awesome is it that he likes to be referred to as Father? I want you to think about that for a moment. He could have chosen anything to be called, right? He didn't tell Jesus to say, when we pray like this, our King, our Judge. He said, when you pray like this, our Father. Think about that. What that speaks to is the intimacy that God desires to have with us. He doesn't want to sit just in lordship over us. He wants us to have communion with him and with each other. He desires for us to be a part of his family. I think that's incredible. Amen? And how many of you know one of the great things that all fathers desire to do is to leave something for the generations after them? Amen? How many of you know inheritance isn't always in a bank account? Right? Inheritance could be many things. Inheritance can be a way to live, a work ethic, a desire to serve God. But somehow, some way, we are leaving an inheritance for those who come after us. And God desires us to possess the inheritance for which he has for us today. And so part of us taking the territory is us stepping into the fullness of what God has for us as people. Let's read in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Boy, that's blunt, isn't it? It's blunt, isn't it? It's not uncallous, though. Or, excuse me, it's not callous the way the Lord says it. What he's saying to it is, he's saying, Joshua, wake up and realize where we are. That season is done. That season has passed. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Now, I want you to note something. The children of Israel at this time, they were camped on one bank of the River Jordan, and God was calling them to finally step across the threshold into the place that he had promised them. And I want you to mark this because we're going to come back to this later. At some point in our life, the Lord is going to call you to step in to the place he has for you. And we're going to have to make a decision to be obedient, to cross that River Jordan, if you will, to cross that boundary, that line of demarcation into the season of which God is calling us. It's important, but that was his clear instruction to his people. Amen? Cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. Verse 4, from the wilderness And this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward to the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Isn't that awesome? Well, we're even seeing that in the Old Testament. All that is that's God reinforcing his character. Amen? Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit, say inherit, the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. And today I want to talk about this possessing of the inheritance, the place of promise. Joshua's assignment was to divide for God's people their inheritance. Every tribe and family had specific boundaries that they were to possess. As a matter of fact, in the book of Joshua, if you go through chapters 15 through 21, it goes through every tribe and it describes the physical boundaries of the land that each tribe and family were to inherit. See, God had thought about this ahead of time. Maybe you know God's not winging it. He has a plan. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? God has a plan, right? And part of that plan is for us to step into a place of promise. And if we look in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14, we have Joshua talking to Caleb at 85 years old. Maybe you know Caleb was one of the original two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who said, we can take the land. And then you guys remember the story we talked about a few weeks ago. The rest of the spies said, it's too hard. It's too challenging. So they ended up waiting another 40 years till that generation died off. The generation of unbelief had to go before this generation could step in. And by the time this is happening, Caleb is 85 years old. Come on. You know what that tells me? Sometimes we're not patient enough with what God is doing, right? How many of you know we tend to get in a hurry, don't we? God, I want it, and I want it now. When God's not keeping, my wife likes to say this, and I really appreciate it when she says this. Whenever I get impatient waiting on God, she always says, God's not keeping this from you, he's keeping it for you. She's a smart girl. But isn't that awesome? God's not keeping it from you. He's keeping it for you. See, there's a time when his promise comes to the fulfillment of what it was meant to be. And at that time, we have to have the courage to step into that place of promise. Are you guys okay and with me today? Say amen. Amen. But if we look in verses that Caleb's talking to Joshua in verses or chapter 14, verses 6 through 14, it says this, then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, yes, lots of names, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God and Moses. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is my strength as it was then, for war, for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country, he doesn't mean Austin, of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there, and the great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly, say wholly, followed the Lord God of Israel. Boy, you want to talk about a powerful passage of Scripture right there. See, what Caleb is saying is, I remember what the Lord said. I remember what God promised me 45 years ago through Moses. And today is the day that I take what God has given me. Isn't that awesome? And what I like about this is I like that it states it at 85 he's saying this. And he says at 85, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. Isn't that awesome? And he says, and I'm stepping in now, and we will drive them out of the land. We will possess the land, and we will grab hold of that which God promised us. How many of you know at 85 years old, Caleb wasn't thinking about himself? How many of you know Caleb was probably thinking about what comes after him? What's to follow? Why is it important that he step into that place? Because there's going to be a generation of my tribe that's coming after me. Amen? You know, I tell you what. You know what Caleb could have done? He could have said, well, I'm 85. I was a spy. I ran in the secret forces of the Israeli army. I've done my wars. I've done my battles. Let somebody else step up. But notice that Caleb said, but this was promised to me. Isn't that awesome? And I will step into what God has promised me because there's something coming after. You guys okay this morning? Every person here has a God-given territory or a dream with a specific boundaries for you to possess. That dream or the boundaries of that territory could be a business or a career. It could be a ministry or a family. It doesn't matter what it is. But you have been given gifts and grace in a specific area or a measure of rule in your life to which you are to advance the kingdom. Every single one of us has been given that. When you set your faith and focus on possessing your inheritance, the results will be blessing, peace, abundance for you and your family, and also blessing for others with the life and love of Jesus that you've received. How many of you know God never calls us to a place of famine? He always calls us to a place of promise. Amen? You might have to go through the desert, but you're going to get there. Come on, somebody say amen. Possessing our inheritance is never just about us, but it's also about expanding the boundaries of the kingdom of God through our influence. Guys, listen, we must possess all of our inheritance that God has for us because eternity for others is at stake. I really believe that in this next year, this is our year to go and possess the land that God has for us. Not just stand across the other side of the river and spy it out. Come on. This is the year that it's time. River Church, listen to me, look at me. It's time to quit standing on the riverbanks on the other side. And it's time to step into the fullness of what God has promised. Amen? This is powerful stuff, guys. See, some of us have just been walking around too many years in the wilderness unfulfilled. We've either been intimidated by the challenges or the giants in the land, as the children of Israel were, that shout to us that this is impossible. We could never accomplish this. We could never do this. Or maybe through either sin or unbelief, we've just settled for less than God's best. Guys, I don't know what's worse. How many of you would hate to know when you get to heaven and you stand before him and he says, you settled. I had so much more. And you settled. We must push in because the stakes are high. It's eternity for the souls of men and women, for the souls of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. This is all on the line. See, others of us have only possessed a measure of our inheritance, and we have been extensions of the life of God's kingdom in a portion of our lives, but not all of our lives. And what we've done is we've lived compartmentalized Christianity, compartmentalized faith. And this comes up way short in possessing our full inheritance and influencing others with the life of the kingdom of God. See, the children of Israel, and here's the sad thing, they never did possess all of their land and drive out all of their enemies. We can learn something about possessing the land from Joshua, who was strong and of good courage, and from Caleb, who wholly and completely followed the Lord. So, two principles that are essential in understanding how to possess your inheritance we're going to talk about today. Amen? First one, Exodus chapter 23, verses 30 says this, "Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possess the land." The first thing is increase. Say increase. A very important spiritual principle to possessing our inheritance is revealed here. Increase. And what I mean by increase is I mean spiritual growth. Right? I'm not talking about increase in the sense that you're going to see your bank account increase. I'm talking about that you need to increase in our spiritual growth and our development and our relationship with Jesus. Spiritual growth is required for inheritance. How many of you know inheritance is only given to the point of maturity? Amen? How many of you know you don't give your inheritance, if I were having an inheritance, I'm not going to give my inheritance to my children when they're 6 years old. Right? Why? They don't know what to do with it. See, the purpose of an inheritance is to build generationally. Come on. You know how wealthy families stay wealthy? Because they leave the tools and the ability for the next generation to surpass them. Come on. You know why you have legacy families? It's because they did well with money. They say they take it, they give it to the next generation who has been trained to do well. Come on. And not only do they hold on to it, they increase it. And then they hand it to their next generation who has been trained to do well. And not only do they grow, they increase it. Come on. And that is God's desire, that generation after generation, we should increase, we should expand, we should grow, we should be better. Amen? Spiritually, how many of you know our children, man, I tell you what, it should never come to the day where our families, where we say, well, my grandfather or my grandmother was a great man or woman of God. I wish we could be like that. It should be, I am powerful today because my grandmother and my grandfather prayed. And they killed the giants in their land. And they left my parents the land. And my parents took the next portion. And they killed the giants in that land. And the inheritance grew. And they showed me how to pray. They showed me how to fight. And today I'm stronger because of that. Amen? It's by generation to generation that we should grow. That's the purpose of inheritance. You guys okay today? Yeah? Our spiritual growth is essential to prepare us to receive what God has prepared for us. Listen, how many of you guys ever heard of a guy named Bear Bryant? You ever heard of him? You coached Alabama? Football coach says this, "It's not the will to win that matters. Everybody has that. It's the will to prepare to win that matters." Right? How many of you know everybody wants to win the game? It's those who dedicate to the preparation. And guys, I'm telling you something. There is so much to be said for us, but we tend to despise the time of preparation instead of making use of the days of preparation. How many of you know, if you haven't possessed your land yet, you're in the stage of preparing? Take seriously the preparation for the days to come. Amen? You can only do that if we have a commitment to grow spiritually. How do we do that? By Sunday celebrations like this, by discipleship, men's and women's, by coming on Wednesday nights, family nights, by attending care group, by having private time of worship, private time of study, by being connected with the family of faith and the people of God. This sharpens us to a position where we grow, and your individual inheritance is discovered within the boundaries of the corporate inheritance. What God has for you as a family will always be found in a bigger picture. It'll always be tied to not just your family, but to the wider family of faith. That's why it's so important. You can say this, you know, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? No, you don't, but you will miss so much of what God had for you. If you're not connected to the bigger picture, you will never be able to walk in the fullness of the total inheritance that God has for you. Period. I didn't make up the rules, guys. But see, God said the fullness of your inheritance is connected to the family of faith, to the body of Christ. Amen? Each of the 12 tribes' inheritance was within the boundaries that God had set for them as a nation across the River Jordan. Each family's inheritance was within the boundaries of their tribe. But did you know that 2.5 tribes did not go in completely? 2.5 tribes settled short of their original boundary. And what it did is it put pressure on all the other tribes to possess the land. The tribes were these: Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh stayed on the opposite side of the River Jordan. Why did they do that? Well, the scripture tells us is they had large herds of cattle. And what they decided was, is they said, well, you know what? It's going to be really hard to get all these cattle over there. And we might lose them. Somewhere along the way, we might encounter loss. And how are we going to even know that we're going to be guaranteed a place? So what they did was they said, listen, you guys go. We'll actually go fight with you, but we're going to stay over here. We're going to stay over here where it's comfortable. We're going to stay over here where we can go ahead and we can grab our possession and our inheritance now. We're going to grab hold of it in this moment, and we're going to put our people here, and we'll settle here. We will. This is good enough. Come on. How many of you know they were more concerned with what their possessions were going to be than they were about possessing the land God had for them? They were more caught up in what they had now that they never saw forward to what God wanted them to have there. Come on. And guess what? They still fought for the promised land. They still sent their sons and husbands to go fight. Yet they never fully took all that belonged to them. Isn't that awful? Not only that, not only were they so concerned with the temporal that they completely forfeited their spiritual inheritance, that they actually ended up facing trouble over that decision for many years because they were constantly open to raids and to other kings coming in, trying to take from them. Amen? See, they never did possess all of the land. Possessing your individual inheritance is crucial to the corporate body possessing theirs. And understanding the corporate body's inheritance and boundaries is critical to you possessing your full inheritance. Individual destiny and corporate destiny are connected. You cannot discover that or fulfill it all on your own. It takes all of us. So what are some of the things we need to do? And I'm going to be closing here in just a couple minutes. Michelle, would you come? I'm going to go ahead and be wrapping this up here in a second. What's part of the things we need to be doing to help us? See, if it's not just all about me getting what I want, how many of you know it's about me pursuing God, but also helping you. Amen? Helping each other That was a really cool ringtone, by the way. It almost sounded like the beginning of Knight Rider. I'm not going to lie. That's what it sounded like in my brain. Right? And now I feel bad because I need to hear the complete theme now. So this involves us investing in others, not just using people to accomplish our own vision. But we have to truly invest in other people. It also involves us helping people to identify their gifts, their passions, their skills, and utilizing them in the areas of their strength where they fit and where God has placed them. Possessing the land requires a commitment to live our lives within the framework and the boundaries of our godly desires and the principles of the Word, rather than pursuing comfort, pursuing money, and living in the fear of men. We have to pursue the place that God has for us. Young people, I know, I just want to say this to you real quick. In life, you're going to get a lot of pressure as you go prepare for college and you prepare for school. And well-meaning people are going to say things like this: well, how much does that pay? And nobody means that in a bad way. But I want to tell you something. Don't pursue money. Pursue purpose. You'll be happy. Pursue what God has for you. Start now pursuing that thing, and you will never live a day unfulfilled. It's not about the numbers in the bank account. It's about the purpose that God has called you to. Amen? And He'll provide the rest. God will provide the rest. It's a good day to start trusting God early. He'll work out that other stuff. Amen? How many of you know we put a lot of pressure because we care on our young people? Make sure you go to college, get a good job. And what we should be saying as parents and grandparents is, what did the Lord say? Amen? Come on, moms and dads. What I'm not against education. I'm for God's purpose. And God's purpose often requires education. But so much better to pursue God. Amen? Don't live in fear of man. And God's highest purpose for us as Christians is to make us like Jesus. If in our pursuit of possessing the land we act less than like Jesus, we have left our purpose. How you get it is just as important to God as achieving it. Amen? Your promised land looks like Jesus, like Christ-likeness, not like selfishness. And if our success doesn't help anyone want to follow Jesus or be like Jesus, then it's not a success. It's a failure. We have settled outside of our true promised land. And we've done what the other 2.5 tribes did and said, this is good enough. We'll just settle here. What God does for us must in some way flow out of us to others to make positive, Christ-like impact on our communities and on their lives. So does your dream include empowering others or giving them opportunities or knowledge that will change their lives? Is part of what God called you to do, is part of what you aspire to, say this: God, use me so that others can be blessed. And I want to leave you with one last statement, and then we'll close. Here's my whole message today. Don't settle for anything less than what God has for you. Amen? Steve Jobs. How many of you have ever heard of him? He was the CEO until he passed away of Apple, when he was recruiting, an executive to come aboard, he went to the president and the CEO of Pepsi Corp. Have you ever heard of Pepsi Corporation? PepsiCo, right? And here's what he said to him. He showed him the vision of what could be, the possibility of what could be, or what we could settle for. How many of you know Apple has made their marks in innovation, right? You be Android, be whatever, but it doesn't matter. They've shown the way of innovation, amen? And as he was speaking to try to recruit the head of PepsiCo, here's what he said to him. He says, do you want to continue to make flavor water for the rest of your life, or do you want to change the world? Do you want to settle for the nice job that you have right now where everything's safe and comfortable? Do you want to settle in that moment when I'm telling you the possibility of what could be? And of course, the CEO of PepsiCo resigned and went to Apple. Because I think in the heart of every single one of us, we all want to change the world. We want to know that our life counted and it mattered for something. We want to know that what we did today will matter tomorrow. And I believe that is the DNA of the believer. That God is calling us to possess a land that will change the world forever and shape the generations to come. Amen. Let's stand.